If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 13. We're not really going to be talking about mothers, but I will say that the title of my message is, Lot. That's the man Lot, the spiritual loser. And I'll say that I'm still nothing now, Brother Mike. You know, obviously compared to God, but what I am today, what little good there is, I mean, in a product of my mother and my father. And think about that. My mom did lead me to Christ, you know. I'm going to share a story because a lot of parents are raising spiritual losers. A lot of people in church who are saved are spiritual losers. And I'll share more about that as we get in. So this really does have a lot to do with mothers and fathers. It's not going to be a feel-good sermon by no means. But we're going to look today. The theme of the sermon, like every sermon, even a public speech, should have a theme in how to be a spiritual loser. And the more I got building this sermon, the more I realized that, you know, everybody's saved. You know, I'm saying that sarcastically. We have people who are saved, who they don't get any benefit from their relationship with Christ on this side of eternity, Brother Mark. Now, they're going to heaven, but they live like the world, and they experience the same pain and that the world does. They don't avoid any of it because they're a spiritual loser, because they don't let the Word of God be a light to their feet, like the psalmist said in 119. And Lot, man, we'll see more about that. He was a spiritual loser. Anyway, think about this. If you know the story, we'll talk about it as we go. Lot lost his wife. Lot lost his daughters. I'm going to try to make this as appropriate as I can. If you read in chapter 19, Lot offered his daughters to a group of men and probably women to be gang raped. Let that set in for a minute. I'll just read the verse. It says, verse 8 of chapter 19, "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray, bring them out to you and do to them as it is good in your eyes." And he basically offered his daughters basically being gang raped. What a loser. What a loser. I mean, I think we read it and it sounds so, oh, what a loser. Then it gets worse. He committed incest with them same daughters. What a loser. I mean, I know nowadays we're not about to say loser in this, but he was a loser. And we'll see here in a little bit, he was a saved man, but he was what I call a spiritual loser. The problem this morning that we have is that we have a problem with being spiritual losers too. It's a major problem. Number one, I've always said that many people who say they're saved but don't live it are not saved, okay? There's no such thing as a Christian, a biblical Christian, who says I'm saved yet doesn't live the Christian life, okay? You shall know them by their fruit. But they are, we'll see here today, they're all people who are saved yet they live carnal lives. They miss out on the blessing of a relationship with Christ on this side of eternity. And what I mean by that, they're on the way to heaven, like Lot. You know, they experience so much pain that they could avoid if they would just live the committed Christian life. There's safety within your relationship with God. So, although I've seen many times a lot of the people who say they're saved and don't live are not saved, they also, who I think are saved, that are carnal. Yet, what's so sad is that they're not getting any benefit of it now. And oh, what a blessing it can be, what a protection it can be if you'll just follow the Word of God. They are suffering the same pain as the world because they have refused to let the Word of God be their guide. And I didn't look it up, but I've read enough to know that nowadays statistics for the church are almost as identical to the world. People who say I'm a Christian, the statistics are as identical to the world. I mean, when it comes, it can be drugs, it can be divorce, it can be depression, It can be a problem with kids, and it can be domestic issues. Oh, no matter what, whatever the world's dealing with, it seems like the people who claim to be a Christian and the church are having the same problems as much as, why is that, Brother Mark? Because there's so many people who are Christians who are living carnal lives. They're being spiritual losers. How sad. The church is full of spiritual losers. This morning, I want to look at Lot. And I want to see what made him a spiritual loser. To where you and I can avoid the same mistakes. Number one, and if it's up there, if you don't go out on it, number one is success was more important than spirituality. Success was more important than spirituality. Letter A here, in the outline, if you take note, Lot was successful. I want you to understand that. Here's the description of Lot. In chapter 13, verse 6, and I hope I put them in my notes. 2 weeks ago, I got called out for reading the wrong verse. I think it was Tim. Brother Tim told me the first time. Remember, I'm going to try. I hope that I'm not making that same mistake this time. I kept saying the wrong verse. But hopefully, I have all these typed out in my notes. Because I don't like to be flipping. But chapter 13, verse 6, it said, the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And that's talking about Abraham and Lot. So right here, I want you to understand that Lot was successful, okay? He was a successful man. He had a lot of cattle. He was rich. And it stayed this way. If you go to chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, I'm not going to get into all the detail, but him sitting at the gate, I think I had to check this morning, because I didn't put it in my notes, but I looked behind John MacArthur, and yes, indeed, if you sat at the gate during this time, that was a place of prominence. That was a place that you were somebody if you sat at the gate. It meant you probably had a lot of money. You were successful. I want you to understand, Lot was a successful man. That's a description of him. But what made him successful? Well, he made good decisions. He made good business decisions. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at chapter 13 and verse 10 and 11. They were Abraham and Lot were both rich. Their herdsmen started to battle. And Abraham said, Lot, I want you to choose where to go. And this is what he's saying. In verse 10 and 11. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even at the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt that cometh out of Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. The Jordan Valley was, with its meadows on either side of the river, to Lot was strongly attractive, highlighted in its lush and fertile nature. Okay? Now, I preached this, and I don't really know if I'm exactly true, because I can't really find anything about it. But it says there, it reminded him of Egypt. And we always say, that's the world. He was being worldly. He went to Egypt. He got a taste of the good life. Well, I don't, be honest with you, the more I study, I don't think that's what it meant. I think it meant that it was a very fertile place. It was a good place to have cattle. It was fertile with grass. So what happened here was Lot looked, and it's not wrong in itself. He saw this area that was good for cattle. It had green grass. It had plenty of water. And he said, this is a good decision to make me successful. Okay? Now stay with me, okay? Please, stay with me. In appearing that he chose this, he made a business decision that would help him be successful. Okay? Now, here's one, get this, hold on. There's nothing wrong in being successful. Okay, I want you to understand, so I'm getting somewhere, so stay with me. Okay, remember, that says was more important than spirituality. Okay, so stay with me. God allows people to be successful. He even blesses people. There's nothing wrong with trying to make a successful decision. Even the Bible preaches wisdom, okay? The problem is when success becomes more important than spirituality. Stay with me. You'll see here that in Lot's decision, you see no record that he sought God in his decision. Let's look at what Abraham did. Look at chapter 13. Look at verse 4. It says, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. All right. Now, if you want to move on down to verse 18. And Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains at which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto the Lord. You know what we don't see Lot doing? We don't see Lot building an altar. We don't see him seeking God at all. Warren Wimpy said this, Lot had a tent, but he had no altar, which means he did not call on the Lord for wisdom in making the decision. Instead of lifting his eyes to heaven, Lot lifted his eyes to the plains of Jordan. Here's what D.L. Moody said. We need more D.L. Moody, don't we? I don't think most of us can handle it, but we need it. There was his mistake. He did not let God choose for him. He said, I most firmly believe that more men make a mistake just there in any other situation in life. Many a man start out and does not ask God to direct him in his business or his plans. That is what made Lot a spiritual loser, was the fact that success was more important than spirituality. He made a decision not on what would be best spiritually for me and my family, but what will bring me the most money. What will lead me to have the biggest house that I can have? What can lead me to having more cars? What can lead to me retiring early in my life? Oh, success. But there's nothing in there that says that he was concerned about the spiritual part. And oh, but let me tell you something. Let me read a few verses that reveal that we don't need to sacrifice spirituality on the altar of success. By the way, that's what we're doing today. We, as a church, are sacrificing spirituality on the altar of success and the altar of entertainment. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss before the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. That's not the average Christian mindset. Well, if I don't work on Sundays, if I don't do this, then I'm not going to get this big bonus. If I make church a priority, then I'm not willing to have these 4-day weekends anymore. It's going to mess up my plans. Oh, we got to be successful. Matthew 26:16, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I mean, that verse often talks about salvation, but he's saying gaining the whole world, being successful in everything. If you can be successful in everything, it's not worth anything if you lose your soul. It's not worth being successful at the expense of spirituality. 1 Timothy 4:8 said, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Ecclesiastes 1:2-3, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit and the man of all his labor and take it under the sun? Success is nothing. I mean, Jim Carrey, the actor, I've got a quote I wrote down. He said, I wish everybody could be rich and famous. Well, they would know that being rich and famous is not the answer. Then it's nothing. That's what Solomon's saying. Solomon's saying, being successful, all at the end of the day, is nothing. My dad said it. He said, when you take your last breath, you're not going to care about anything else but your relationship with God. You're not going to take it with you. And Solomon even said that in Ecclesiastes. He said, what's so sad? And you build up this big empire. And you don't know who's going to get it after you. Are they going to take care of it or not? Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let him hear in the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. Oh, success is not more important than spirituality. Oh, but for a spiritual loser it is. Lot says success is more important to him, was more important to him than spirituality. And he was a spiritual loser. And I've already said I'm kind of spoiled a little bit, but so many people will say this, yeah! But he wasn't saved. I'm saved, oh. That's not letter B. Lot was saved. Go to 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Lot, man, much I hate to admit it. I mean, I wouldn't say he was saved if I didn't know this. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Oh, that verse right there tells us that Lot was indeed a saved man. So today, you can be a spiritual loser and be on the way to heaven. I want you to understand that. You have a free will. You can still make some decisions. You know, you're on your way to heaven, but you can make so many bad decisions on this side of eternity that you get no benefit. You're like Lot. You can have no wife, no kids, just sitting around, all these bad choices. Lot was a spiritual loser. Oh, but he was saved. I mean, he said he was a righteous man. He had a righteous soul. He was vexed every day. Salvation doesn't guarantee that you won't be a spiritual loser. I want you to understand that. And you say, what? Stay with me. Salvation doesn't guarantee that your kids won't be spiritual losers. So, I mean, you say, well, my kid got saved. Okay, that's great. But they can still be a spiritual loser. Well, you say, well, I got saved. Doesn't mean you can't be a spiritual loser. Lot was saved, but he was a spiritual loser. Here's why. Here's why. There's more to the Christian life than just being saved from hell and heading to heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does that mean? It's not talking about working for your salvation. It means that you are in charge of taking the necessary step to restore yourself to wholeness. See, the content is that they were saved in that verse. They're saved, but they're not living like they should. They've made some mistakes. And Paul said, you need to work out your own salvation. You got to do what you need to be the Christian that you are to be. For you to be not a spiritual loser, you have to work with your salvation. Your salvation works for you, but it doesn't mean that you're immune to sin. Salvation alone doesn't remove your responsibility to use your free will in a holy manner. You can't just put your spiritual life on cruise control and things turn out good. I mean, James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. If my faith does not work, it's dead. It's dead. So what good is it if I say, go be feeling hungry and I don't give you food? The problem is we've gotten so, I don't want to preach a work-based salvation either, but we've gotten so far from that we've forgotten that salvation does work. Salvation does work. And it's your responsibility to make sure that you make the right choices and follow the Holy Spirit. Don't you remember when I was preaching Galatians, walk ye in the Spirit? Whose responsibility is to walk in the Spirit? Yours. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit is in you. But it's your responsibility to walk in the Spirit. It's your responsibility to make the right choices. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you and guiding you. It's your responsibility to actually do it. Oh, but the problem is that we've taught this Christianity that said, you just say a prayer when you're 5 years old, Salvation is by faith, not by prayer. I know it says call upon the Lord, but it's still faith. Faith. We say, say this ritualistic prayer. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Lord, let me go to heaven when I die. Let me go to heaven. And then we get up and we never do anything else in our Christian life. No, one, that person probably not saved. But if they are, they're going to be a spiritual loser because it does take some effort on your part to live for God. For you not to be a spiritual loser. I said this, like this, the Holy Spirit is not a perpetual motion machine that does it for you. You don't want to sit down, I'm saved. Holy Spirit just take me. And I'm just going, I'm not going to do anything. That's not how it works. Oh, but that's what we're talking about. We call it these world spirituality. That's not what it is. You have to think. You have to make decisions. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Oh, He convicting you. He wants you to grow. But it's up to you to make that decision. To make that choice. Lot was a spiritual loser. And he raised spiritual losers. Because success was more important than spirituality. I know today that I'm not anything I need to be. But like I said, where I am at spiritually, part of it, the reason I am what I am is because my mother and my father decided that spirituality was more important than success. They made a decision to let my mom raise me. Crazy, ain't it? What did that mean? That meant one income. And my dad's told the story more than once, and it must have bothered him. And I can understand why. Because in a man's world, success and the toys you have is what makes you, right? But the more toys you got, you're the winner. He told me the story more than one. Different, like 5 or 6 years apart. He said the guys at work would say, Tom, and they call him Tom, why don't you put your wife to work and buy you a bass boat? Because he was a big fisherman, I like to fish. And that had to bother him. It don't bother any man. Forget what he said to me and what he told me. He said, well, you know, you're right, I could. He said, but right now I know who's raising my kids. I know who's raising my kids. You know who's raising his kids? A woman who at around the age of 18 got saved and lived for the Lord. Who actually led me to the Lord. In other words, like I said last week, I had to wear a rustler blue jeans to school. We ain't going on the vacations. And a lot of it because my mom didn't work. But what my dad was saying to me was my kid's spirituality is more important than my success, my fishing success. The problem nowadays, that's not how the average Christian thinks. Nowadays, success is everything. Adults, saved and unsaved, will do anything for a bigger house, a bigger car, bigger vacation. Parents will do anything for the kids to be successful in sports, in education, enrichment camps, experiences, social life, dating life, make sure they make a lot of money by age 25. Then they wonder why they don't live for God. It's because you taught them that success was more important than spirituality. Because you sacrificed spirituality on the altar of success. And it produced spiritual loser. Because you become a spiritual loser. Because success has become more important to you. The sad thing, even as a church, we're producing a lot of experts in everything but Christ. We got kids, even adults now, and they know how to catch, they know how to throw, they know how to hit a baseball, they know how to cheer, they know how to jump, they know how to study, they know how to take care, they know how to travel and fly, they know how to take pictures, they know where the best food's at, they know where the best fishing holes are at, but they know very little Bible and what it means to live for the Lord. It's pretty impressive, some of the kids you see now. Oh, they're trained. They're successful. But to teach, and for you to live for the Lord, and for you to teach even your kids to live for the Lord, it might cost you and your kids something. That's the problem. And that's what I had an old preacher tell me, that a lot of parents change when their kids become teenagers. You know why? Because they're not willing to make their kids pay the price. Might not have the biggest house. Might not have the most toys. Your kid might not have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, which is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. They might not make all-star. They may not have the most friend. They may not be the most popular. And here's the thing, most parents are not willing to pay the price. They're not willing to sacrifice success for spirituality for themselves or their kids. We're raising experts in all the ways of life except they're spiritual losers. Here's the thing. If you want to be a spiritual loser today, make success more important than spirituality. And that's exactly what Lot did. Lot was a spiritual loser because success was more important than spirituality, but secondly, because he ignored the wake-up calls. He ignored the wake-up calls. We all make mistakes. We all need to get on track. We need to get back on track. The problem is many don't ever wake up. No way. I mean, I see it even in the pastor, people, like, I see it like, man, they're just not getting it. They're just not getting it. Not that I'm perfect, but they're not waking up. Lot is a prime example. He had made some mistakes, but he never seemed to wake, at least in the text. He never seemed to wake up. You said, what do you mean? He had some wake-up calls. He had three wake-up calls. Letter A here, Lot was captured. Genesis 14, 11 and through 12. And then took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the victuals and went their way. And then took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, and who dwelt in Sodom, his goods, and departed. Okay? So, here's what happened. We know the city attacked Sodom and Gomorrah. They captured it. They took Lot. We know that Abraham rescued Lot. And he went back. So let me read what D.L. Mooney said. Now, instead of Lot staying out of Sodom, as he ought to have done, he went back in it. I can imagine him saying, I must go back and make up for what I've lost. That was another of Lot's mistake. Returning to the city after such a warning he had, but he went back. This didn't wake him up, Brother Mike. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If another town comes this week to capture Kingsport, and they take me away, Miss Janet, if I get free, I'm not staying. I might should stay, but I'm going back to Alabama. I think most of them feel the same way. When he got captured, and you think he actually got captured, you know what? Maybe I'm not making the best decisions in my life. And I see what people tell you. I mean, you know, you pray for people who are wayward. I've seen people have car crashes. I know a guy back home had a car crash, still not saved. A couple years older than me. I mean, he should have died in that car wreck. He gets out holding a scratch and keeps on trucking, Brother Mark. Never stop and think, maybe I should evaluate what I'm doing in my life. Never. He didn't wake up. But not even that. Listen, and it was even better. Let it be. Lot was convicted. I've already read the verse in 2 Peter, but it says here that he was vexed. That means he was tormented. That means that the Holy Spirit was convicting him every day. And it says here, from day to day, he was convicted, but he ignored. He got up, Brother Mike. He knew he shouldn't be doing the thing he was doing. By the way, that is one of the signs of a Christian, is that a Christian, if they live in sin, two things happen. Either they repent and get right with God. That's what David did. Remember, I have sinned. Number two, if they are in sin, they don't like it. It convicts them. And that's a lie. I wrote a paper on that in school. A sin in the life of a believer. The problem, a lot of believers are living in sin and they don't care. That means they're not saved. But anyway. He was convicted, but he ignored it. I just wonder how his family would have turned out if he'd have listened to that conviction. After maybe 2 years, he said, you know what? I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. This is not where we need to be. Oh, it would have cost him something. It would have cost him some money. It would have cost him success. It would have cost him some popularity. Oh, but wonder how his family would have turned out. Well, his wife might have stayed alive. He might not have committed incest. But he ignored it. Wake up call number one, Lot was captured. Wake up call number two, Lot was evicted. And then wake up call number three, Lot was confronted. Go to Genesis 19:13. It says, the angels came to town. Lot saw them and got up, took them to his house. And it says, the angel said, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Alright? Sounds great, right? Brother Sonny, you know, so what would you do? What would be the common sense? Get out of town, right? Get out of Dodge. Well, let's read verse 15 and 16. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, went on here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he what did it say? Lingered. The men laid hold of his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful said to them, and brought them forth, and set them without the city. They literally had to be dragged out. I mean, he was confronted by, and that's what we say all the time, like, no, if I just had a special, supernatural experience with God, and I would change my life. No, you wouldn't. Because it doesn't have to do with that. It doesn't have to do with knowledge. It had to do with your heart. It had to do with surrendering to God. Lot had two angels looking at him saying, we're going to destroy the city. And the angels already struck the men with blindness. So you know they're angels. They have power. Yet he just lingers. Even as the city being destroyed, Lot never wakes up. He never opens his eyes. And I see that with people. I mean, and not that I don't think I'm no better than anyone else. But like parents, I see them, like, they just keep doing the same thing. They don't wake up, like, wake up! Wake up! I see it was just people, I can predict some things. You know, and it was just people, like, you know what's gonna happen. You know what's gonna happen. I know right now. They're not waking up. People's telling you to do the right thing. People's telling you, like, oh, you've made your mind up. That's a lot. Lot literally having drugged out of the city. Why is he a spiritual loser? Because he ignored the warnings. He ignored the warnings to get right with God. To do the right thing. Let me ask you, what warnings are you ignoring? What are some things in your life that you know you need to change? Stop ignoring them. If you don't want to be a spiritual loser, stop ignoring them. And if you need to be a better father, you need to be a better husband, a spiritual husband, a spiritual mother, whatever it is. Wake up. Wake up. Maybe you're not saved. Wake up. Lot was a spiritual loser because success was more important than spirituality. But secondly, he was a spiritual loser because he ignored the wake-up call. And thirdly, he was a spiritual loser because he failed to live it. Number three, he failed to live it. Here's the proof. Letter A is the proof. Here's the proof. And Lot, okay, so here's the context. The angel said, we're going to destroy the city. And then in Genesis 19:14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, by the way, I don't have the answer. And obviously it appeared that he had two daughters that were not married. And it seemed to be another daughter or other daughters that he had that weren't married, you know, but he had, you know, anyway. But I'm not really going to address that, but there are some theories about that. But he went out and spake to his son-in-law, went and married his daughter, and said, get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocketh unto his sons-in-laws. They literally thought he was joking. How sad. How sad. How sad. He literally thought they were joking. Warren Williams said, because of his worldliness, Lot had no spiritual influence either in the city or in his own home. I'm going to tell you something. I'm making a little side note about influence. Influence trumps authority each and every day. The key is you want to have influence over people, not authority. Because like Kerry Smith, a really good guy to read after, said that I heard him in men's conference. He was talking to parents or fathers. He said, you don't always have authority, but you can always have influence. You can always have influence. His married daughter and her husband laughed at him and refused to leave. Even his wife looked back one more time. Why did they think he was joking? Because he didn't live it. He didn't live it. He didn't live it. Which leads us to the problem. Let it be here is the problem. See, this is the problem we have. This is the problem. This is why I get so passionate. Because we have people who claim to be saved, but they don't live it. Spiritual losers hear it. They know it. They can quote it. They can debate you. But they don't practice it, follow it, obey it, or teach it. You know what happened? They deceive themselves. James 1:22. And I've never really thought about this part. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's what Lot was, to some degree. Deceiving your own selves. See, we've got a generation of Christians in the church and outside the church. We have some Christians who are not Christians, but think they're Christian. And here's what you see. They're not living it. Now, I'm gonna quote John Phillips. I'm not quoting, I'm gonna use John Phillips. Illustration. Christianity is not about perfection, it's about direction. He said, what do you mean? Well, he used the navigation of the old time, that a boat be on the ocean and follow the North Star. That North Star, now, when they went this way, they would go east a little bit, left, it should be west, so west. They would go east a little bit. But after 100 miles, the overall direction was north. Was north. Same thing in your Christian life. You're not going to be perfect. But your overall life after 10 years of saying you've been saved should show up that, hey, this person lives for God. This person lives according to the word. Not perfect, but direction. That's the thing. And the problem is that, we see it, the Bible never teaches that we can have Jesus as a Savior, but not a Master. See, we all want Jesus for His power, but no one wants Him for His principles. You can't pick and choose. And that's exactly, I had to kind of back up a little bit, because I always, y'all know me, and my wife said, I think no one's saved. But there is a thing as, I guess, Brother Mike, a carnal believer, to some degree, you know what I mean? Warren Wimson said there's the unsaved, the natural man, the carnal man, the spiritual man. So, I will say, we have somebody like Lot, who won on his way to heaven, yet he didn't live it fully, although he must have at some point in his life, but what did he do? He didn't live it, and guess what? He deceived himself. He probably said, everything will be okay. Oh, but it wasn't. If you don't live it, and think everything's okay, you are a spiritual loser. Now, I don't know if that means you're not saved at all, or that you're saved and you're not getting any benefit of your relationship with Christ on this side of eternity. I don't know. That's for you and God to decide that. But I'll say this, you'll be a spiritual loser. You have deceived yourself, and if you're not careful, you'll deceive your children as well. Lot was a spiritual loser because he didn't live it. Here's the thing. He said, what do we need to do? We need to live it. We need to live it. Your faith will have works. You shall know them by their fruit. What is your fruit saying? What are your works saying? Those who love me keep my commandments. What is your fruit saying? Hey, we need to live. If you're a Christian today, you still need to. Just because you're on the way to heaven don't mean you're not need to live it. Don't deceive yourselves. Quit deceiving yourselves. In conclusion, don't be a spiritual loser. Don't sacrifice spirituality on the altar of success. I don't know. I don't care if that's financial success, success on the ball field. Don't sacrifice success. Or don't sacrifice spirituality on the altar of success. And she's a lot of time, I didn't get on all this, but when she did was key, they start dating boys and girls that are not what they should be. Why? Because a lot of mom and dad want their kid to be the hottest little thing around. Why parents want their kids to have sex appeal, I don't know. But they're proud when their son brings in the hottest little girl in town. You know, it's true. They're proud when their daughter is the hottest little thing in town. Don't sacrifice even social success. Don't sacrifice spirituality and social success. I hope you see it all the time. You see it all the time. And I could go on and on, but I'm not preaching again. Number two, don't ignore the warnings. If you're being warned, if you're being convicted, wake up. And number three, don't fail to live it. As the piano and the organ player come up to play a song invitation, if we stand to our feet, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, just for a moment of reflection, let me ask you, in your opinion, what are you? Are you a spiritual loser? Let's be honest. Okay, let's answer the question. Is success more important than spirituality? Maybe it's success at a hobby. Maybe you compromise your spirituality to be good at something. I don't know. It doesn't matter what it is. Do you, right now, you thinking to yourself, do you sacrifice spirituality for success? And if you say yes, then, well, you're probably going to be a spiritual loser. Hey, let me ask you. Are you failing to live it? Then, if you answer yes to that, then you're a little closer. But let me ask you this before the big thing. Are you ignoring the warning sign? Hey, that's for all of us. You may be a person that has a God's own heart like David. And it's where it starts. Or there's a little, it can be big things or even little things. Little things. Hey, you know you should be reading your Bible, but you're not. It can be little things. Or there's some little things in your life that you know you need to change, but you're not. Oh, then you're on the road to being a spiritual loser. And David's going to play. I mean, to be honest, if you answer yes to any of your question, then you either are a spiritual loser or you are in danger of being a spiritual loser. Oh, it doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. You may be saved, sanctified, but you're on a road that you don't need to be on. Hey, you may be here and you may be saying, I'm a spiritual loser because I have never been saved. Maybe that's you today. I don't know. I don't know your heart. But you do. And right now, the Holy Spirit may be convicting you about something. And you're ignoring it. Right now, don't ignore it. Me and my wife talk about it. It does bother me that no one ever comes to the altar. Maybe my preaching's bad. I don't know. It does. And I think we, even as a church, are ignoring God's call. God's conviction. If they play, if God spoke to you, don't ignore it.